Now joining the program, Jack Leverance of 10,000 Takes, the fearless leader of 10,000 Takes. You can find 10,000 Takes on Twitter at 10K Takes. You can also find Jack himself at Bossman_10K. Jack, as always, thank you so much for the time. Love having you on. I want to get some wild stuff in. I want to get some Masters stuff in, and I'll start with the wild. Season over. Mathematically, maybe so. Mathematically, maybe not. I don't really care. I've already accepted it. I think I accepted it last week. How would you describe the season now that we're at an end?
It was kind of brutal. I mean, it had some ups. It had mostly downs. I mean, I was actually at the game on Saturday, and we were talking about, like, what really led us to this point. And if you think back to, like, November, December, when there was 7 or 8 crucial people, including one of our starting goalies hurt, and how we, like, that, you can't start off a season that way and recover, honestly. So I think if those injuries don't happen, we're still in it, maybe even in a playoff spot, but the damage was just already done from that point. And I think, like, 8 or 9 third period of leads that we blew, you can't do that either.
Yeah, so I think, like, it was 10 and they were all at the X. That's the worst part about it. They were all at the X.
They were all at home, which is just, that makes no sense. It should, if it was the other way around, I think people would understand it and be like, okay, well, they're just not prepared on the road. But how the hell do you do that at home?
Right.
That's bananas.
It's really shocking too, and I want to ask you what your hope is for the off season, but the fact of the matter is for one, this team still doesn't have money. Secondly, they just have to, I don't know, hope they are healthier next season. That seems like what it is, but what is your hope for the offseason with the limited, I don't know, room space that they have to work with?
Well, so there's been talks about potentially moving Gustafson. He's, you know, he signed that contract, and it just seems like he hasn't been the same Tendy since. I know the high blocker is an issue. The high blocker is also an issue for me, by the way, as a goalie, but we're not going to get into that right now. Maybe make some trades for some guys that you can get. I mean, at this rate, I think everything just points to the 2025 season when the buyouts are over. I know Yurov might be over here by then. We have Kuzmedinov, so I think, you know, you develop some of those younger guys and maybe put Wallstad in there for some starts next year and really just get ready for that 2025 season when the buyouts are over. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying, like, burn next year, but I would say look at the bigger picture, which I know Billy G is good at doing. So that's honestly my hope, is that don't care what happens next year, just be ready when the money comes back, and the cap will be up by then. So
right, that,
like,
too.
Everything is aligning to that year as, like, the opening of our true window.
Okay, so you say talks about Gus. Look, I wouldn't have any problems with that, don't get me wrong, but what does that mean for Flower? I mean, the guy has to have an end point here. He's got to retire at some point, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Billy G and Flower are good friends. I think Billy G would not trade Gus if Flower was like, yeah, I'm done after this year.
Sure.
So if you do see Flower get moved, I think it's safe to assume, Gustafson get moved. I think it's safe to assume that Flower is going to do one more run. And, I mean, Jake, I don't know how much you've been watching him, but he's still got it.
No, he does.
He's still the guy. It's insane that someone at 39 years old is still doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Because, like, at 26, I already feel old and decrepit. So to think that a guy like that is still out there making saves, still out there pranking teammates like he's still in his early 20s. I don't know if you saw what he did to Duhame's car yesterday
that was
in Colorado.
Great.
The guy is just, he's the fountain of youth. He's not aging. So, I honestly, why not run it back another year and just play until he physically can't sit in the crease anymore?
I mean, I like that. I like that a lot. You talk about that 2025 spot, right? The 2026, whatever it may be. I'm wondering, you know, how are you happy next year? Is there even going to be happiness next year? And it's just kind of hold your breath, live through it, and then let's get to 25, 26.
Yeah. You know, I think in Minnesota sports in general, you should just never go into a season with hope because you're eventually going to get let down.
Sure.
So that's already my initial defense mechanism. But I would say, look at the long-term picture. if we win next year or we even are able to compete, it's absolutely a cherry on top. I mean, mm-hmm. you still have a solid core of guys. The defense is a whole other thing that we need to work on, but for the most part, I would say in terms of goal scoring, I mean, Rossi's looked really good this year. Kirill has had 40 goals plus, despite, you know, being pretty banged up for the first half mm-hmm. of the season. So, I mean, you know, you still have a good core there that could compete. But for the most part, I would say, yeah, like, put all your eggs into the 25, 26, 27 basket. Now, that being said, in that time frame, you also have to find out a way to bring back Kaprizov, because mm-hmm. I believe next year is that first year where the buyouts are over is the final year of his 5-year deal. So that's another thing on the horizon. But I would say, yeah, just gear up for the year the buyouts are over, and, you know, Billy G will finally have some flexibility with this team. I'm excited.
Speaking with Jack Leverance of 10,000 Takes, of course, Jack, you sort of walked through the most quintessential Minnesota sports fan there. You started off with, let's not have any hope, and then you explained why, hey, maybe we can have some hope next year. But look, who knows what's going to happen? I'm fine playing to 2026. I wanted to switch gears here, Jack, and get to the Masters. I know you, as I am, a big golf guy. My first question for you when it comes to the Masters, what do you think, where do you put the Masters in the sporting events power rankings?
Ooh, that's tough.
Isn't it?
I'm going to put it number one. I don't think anything compares. And that's coming from a guy who grew up watching golf, who, you know, golf was my favorite sport, big Tiger Woods fan. So, you know, all of the pieces are there. But that's not to diminish the other ones. The reason why I'll put it over the other ones is because my teams are never in the other ones. But if I was alive for a Wild Stanley Cup, I'd probably put the Stanley Cup before it.
Sure.
But I never have any stake in that. So, until one of my Minnesota sports teams or one of my teams in general is up there and in one of those other ones, I'm not going to put it before the Masters.
I respect that answer. I respect that. Now, in terms of, this is easy then, but would you put the Masters in terms of going to one? But now I'll put the caveat in there as going to the Masters versus going to the Wild in the Stanley Cup or going to the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep, the latter, for sure.
Okay.
The Wild and the Cup, yeah. 100 times to 1, I would rather do that. As much as I love the Masters, and as cool as that would be, like, the rules are so weird there. Like, you can't have your phone on the course. You can't call fans. They're called patrons. That's the one thing. I get, like, the Masters is, you know, they're trying to restore tradition and all that, but, you know, there's some weird things about it that I would rather go to a Cup or a Super Bowl.
I could see that.
But if my Minnesota sports teams aren't in it, then it's totally the Masters. So
I could see you being one of the patrons, if you will. I don't know, getting some trouble there. I would like to see that. I would actually I would pay to see you just get in trouble by the Masters rule book. I'll digress from that point though. Why don't we get to some picks here? Why don't we get to some thoughts on the actual golfers? I wanted to start with your dark horse, and it's not like at the Masters we really see big underdogs ever win. I mean, Danny Willett was the last one, and he won it, in fact, on a score that was the second lowest in the 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm saying a dark horse, but maybe not too dark horse. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I got a couple I'm looking at. Victor Hovland plus 3,300. You know, he was the winner on the tour last year. His mm-hmm. chipping has immensely improved. He was a huge reason that Team Europe won the Ryder Cup. He hasn't done a ton on the PGA Tour this year, but he's a guy who's certainly looking for his first major. Mm. I would love to see him win. I still like, for whatever reason, he has yet to be able to get it done, but Cameron Young, who has finished top five, and I think in a few tournaments this year, should have won a couple weeks ago when he lost to the guy with the bucket hat. What's his name? He gets to play in the Masters, though, thanks to that. I think those two, Hovland, Cam Young, I could even see a Sahith Sagala being in the mix.
Whoa.
You know, he's a big up-and-comer, plus 4,500 there.
Mm-hmm.
heck, you know, why not like a Brian Harmon, someone who doesn't get in a lot of trouble, and if he's playing well, someone to look at plus 6,000 or 6,600. So, I mean, yeah, dark horses, there's a couple.
I would say why not Brian Harmon is because I can't stand to root for the guy because I can't stand to watch the waggle, but that's a personal
preference.
You don't
like the waggle?
I can't stand the waggle, yeah. Jack. I can't. It's there's no place in golf for that.
I agree. The waggles are out of control, and I can guarantee the patrons are not a fan of the waggle either.
Speaking with Jack Leverance of 10,000 Takes, I'm thinking Jordan Spieth at 20-1. Look, I get it about Jordan. I get it. He hasn't been great. He's been so inconsistent. He's taken this extreme level of Jordan Spiethness to him. But at 20-1 at the Masters, I mean, come on. Are you kidding me there?
Yeah. I do see him pretty low on the list. I mean, I think you just have to take into account that he hit such a bad shot last week that it went on the roof of the clubhouse.
Yeah, you can't forget that, can you?
Or the maintenance shed, whatever the heck that was.
You can't forget that.
Dude, that was... You can't forget that. That was seriously like a Happy Gilmore 18-hole kind of scenario there, where he was like in the middle of a ton of concrete blocks, somehow still on the golf course, tries to hit it over the shed, ends up on top of the shed. You know, Augusta will not allow you to do that. But I do agree that's good value for a guy who has been there and definitely has the ceiling to win.
We're running out of time here, Jack. Speaking with Jack Leverance of 10,000 Takes. Who's the pick? If you say Scotty, I would understand. It's not very creative, but hey, I understand. I think he could go out there and win by 10, 15 strokes, but you can only pick one golfer. Who's your pick to win it?
Yeah, it is Scotty, and I think, and it is a boring pick, but he's playing at a level right now that we haven't seen since another guy who was playing in the tournament, Tiger Woods,
right,
in terms of his ball striking, his chipping. I mean, his putting is as us young kids call it, it's very mid. He's very mid at putting, and he still wins tournaments, which usually, you know, you have to have an incredible putting game to win or even compete, and the fact that he can get away with not making putts but has such good ball striking that he can win these tournaments by a lot, it's insane. So, like, if Scotty can putt okay this week, yeah, I think he wins the tournament by, like, four or five shots.
Could be even more than that. If he's good enough on the greens, he might win by 10, 12, 15. I'm not even being facetious there either.
It's crazy, and he hits his tee shots, like an average of 340. And he almost breaks his ankle every time he swings the driver. So it's like, there's a lot about that guy. Oh, last thing on that, do you see he has a beard again?
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah, he didn't lose a tournament when he had a beard. And then he shaved it, and he didn't finish like second or third in whatever tournament that was. So I think the beard is back. He's just so good all over the place. I wouldn't say it's a lock, but it's about as close as you can get for a golf tournament, 100 some people in it.
I can see that. I'm going to be a fool here, Jack. I'm going to take Rory McIlroy for no apparent reason other than I got a feeling. That's my analysis.
Gamble with him eventually.
I think I'm just going to pick him every single year until he either retires and it never happens, or he finally hits the career grand slam. So I'm going with Rory, and we're going to call it good there. That's all I need from you. You know?
Yeah, ten to one, like. It's crazy that he's plus 1,000 and he has the second best odd. That just shows
how good Scotty Scheffler is. Yeah, you're right.
But Rory, I mean, Rory's been playing well. He wants it more than I'd say really anyone else in the field right now, and he needs it more than anyone else in the field. I think it's been longer since he's won a major than, like, there's some stat out there about he. Basically, people are almost discrediting the majors he does have because it's been so long, which is ridiculous, but I do think he's bound to get one, and this might be the year. We'll see.
We'll see. Jack Leverance of 10,000 Takes, as always, buddy, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk soon, and hopefully you can get your Scotty Scheffler pick, but watch Rory for me, all right, pal?
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me.